Good evening. You're listening to LFM. It's the actually we'll have to turn the logos down. It's the 6th of March, and on today's show we have DJ Watermess, Jay Frank, and Spax. But first up, it's Stephen Fingleton, who's just arrived, hot out of a cab. So as he prepares himself, here's a track by Stephen Fingleton. Okay, so I hear you've had a bit of an epic journey here this evening. Would you like to care to tell us about it?
Well, I was running into technical difficulties, as you say, in my flat, which meant I was leaving rather too late to use public transport to get here. So I had to rely on one of the many dodgy cab places in Brixton.
Unlicensed.
Well, I don't even know if he was licensed or unlicensed or whatever, because I'm going into the cab place and he stops me in the doorway and says, "Where are you going?" And I was like, "Well, you know, I'm going up to Stoke Newington." And he says, "I'll take you there. Stand in the car park." I was like, "Is this like legit?" "Yeah, of course it's legit. Just go and stand there quickly." So I go over there and he goes and he buys something from a shop. I don't know what it is. And then he gets in the car with me. And, you know, and he's like, "Where are you going? Where are you going?" And I said, "Well, I don't have the exact postcode." They said, "Call him. What network are they on?" Because he's got a phone for every network.
Yeah.
Okay. So then he it turns out he's bought some alcohol to drink. to start the thing going. So he mixes it with a bit of water, downs it, and the journey begins, breaking speed limits. He kept ignoring his tom-tom. You know, it was telling him to go left, so he decides to, you know, invent kind of new shapes that he can do around London. If it said left, he'd go straight on. If it said right, he would go straight on. He generally just went straight on, so it took a lot longer. And then, of course, he upped up the price at the end, you know.
Jesus Christ.
So it was like, initially it was, he says, 22, 24. I was like, well, generally when you get a cab, they'll say, this is how much it will cost. And then I was like, oh, 30. You see, I said, if we went past Dalston, it would cost more. I was like, obviously the Dalston tax comes into play.
You're going to have to go somewhere around Dalston to get to Stoke Newington from Brixton, surely.
Well, you know, I mean, it didn't strike him. I mean, although his geography was pretty poor, he did ask me, is Stoke Newington beyond Liverpool Street? And I was like, when you say beyond, what do you mean? And he's, is it beyond it? And I was like, well, it's north of it. Right, right. So that meant he ignored what the Tom was saying and just and ended up in Shoreditch. So that was
the thing. I think the most disturbing thing is the fact that he downed some alcohol before he got behind the wheel.
Maybe it steadied his nerves. The other thing was, in addition to disregarding the Tom and inventing his own routes around London, he was also kind of juggling, four of these phones while calling relatives in whichever part of Africa he was from, and taking multiple calls. It was like a full secretarial service for staying in touch with people pretty continually.
Oh,
and occasionally
God.
He would talk to me, but I could never tell when. Yeah. So occasionally he'd say, how far? And I'd look over and I'd say, well, I don't know, maybe not that far now. And then say, yes, I would do it that far. It was one of his rare breaks in English, presumably seducing one of his many African-turned-Londoner mistresses. I was like, how's he going to pay attention? How's he going to keep control of the car? And in many cases, you know, he came close to crashing and stuff. And it was fun. It was fun. And, and then arriving here and not being able to find the door to get up was just that added bit of stress I really needed. But it's a good thing. I've got some Bushmills in my bag. So I'll be enjoying drinking it. I'm just about ready to play my next song.
Okay.
Got my equipment ready.
Okay, well, he's going to carry on plug in, but what's the name of this next track?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's called I Have No Idea. So, we'll have some live action soon. Thank you. Okay, so what's this about China Whites then?
Sorry, well, someone in the studio was discussing China Whites, and I was actually on a kind of date stroke. It's just a catch up, honestly, with an actress I know, very attractive. She's called Jade, so she's obviously doesn't have that many GCSEs, and you know, hadn't been in touch with her for a while, but had managed to you know, get this excuse to meet up. You know, tried to flash my BBC pass credentials, took her to Television Centre for a drink and whatever. Anyway, the whole thing was a car crash, and from the start. And one of the things that came through was that she did angeling at China White's, of course, and she was disgusted by how sleazy it was. Well, I think it's kind of in the job description, darling. You know, when you're angeling at China White's, it's not going to be high class hostess stuff. They're not going to expect to discuss fine art with you. Or as John Terry put it, could I have a full body massage, please? She's also been came on to by Callum Best. Given her absolute obscurity as an actress, I would say that was an opportunity she passed up at her cost. She could have been the unknown unknown brunette on Callum Best's arm exiting China White's at 2 a.m. And, you know, that would have made a cutout for her acting portfolio, which I've got to admit is quite sparse as it is.
Do I sense that maybe the date stroke catch-up didn't go entirely as you were hoping it would?
I mean, I was hoping that, you know, beneath her mask of indifference, she was actually attracted to me, and
I can't believe it's going out.
As it turned out, her mask of indifference was actually a mask covering a face of indifference. there was indifference towards my overtures. The night came to the head when she says, kind of in a sultry sort of voice, or maybe I was imagining it, "So where do you live?" I was like, "Brixton." I should probably say Clapham or something, you know, like South Clapham, you know, that would be North Clapham, but anyway, she wouldn't know geography anyway, North, South, whatever. In fact, the closest she would get to North, South was that diseased boy band from the late 90s who were on BBC, had their own show, North and South. That's probably the only connotations North and South would bring for her.
Pretty obscure reference.
Fairly obscure.
I don't even remember that.
Fairly obscure, but I can assure you, someone is rolling on the floors with nostalgia-filled mirth. And so she says, "Well, you know, I live in Muswell Hill." I said, "Muswell Hill? Yeah, I was up there recently, seeing someone." And she's like, "Okay." And so, do you got friends out there, or are you on your own? She's like, "No. I've been living there for 9 months with my boyfriend." I said, Christ. And I just said, right. So 9 months. And she's 19, and she's been living there. So, I mean, she jumps from the nest into a pad of her own with doubtless a 24-year-old accountant. So I was like, right. And I didn't flinch. I didn't mess up, obviously. But she then offered me another drink, and I with great fortitude, declined. And she didn't reply to my email the next day. So I guess she kind of got the message that this wasn't the catch-up or networking-type meeting. It was rather a slightly sleazy affair, which resulted in unpleasantness all around. I think it's time for the next track. What do you think, Tom?
Yes, it's a good idea. We'll get Joel's China White story in a bit. But, yeah, I think we definitely need some music. Okay, so this next track is it's a live section from...
From the Pleasure Unit. It's a kind of CD bar.
Oh, is this the Just Ask for Diamond?
Yeah, this Just Ask for Diamond. To explain, I've played live with Richard Lewis, a punk musician.
He's a skinhead.
You know, he likes his fashion, but he's been in Vice magazine. You know, you know, as a model. You know, so he's pretty cool on that level. And Vice magazine is as cool as it gets. Have you been invited to Vice parties?
No.
Well, then you're not in the cool enough to be in Vice Club.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not in the cool enough to be Vice Club, but I know someone who is. Okay, I know someone who is. So Richard plays bass, and I kind of play or hit play on my sequencer, which does the rest. We need to queue it up actually, which is going to be an issue. So we should probably talk about your experiences that night, Tamon. While I work the CD player like I was going to use an analogy there, which would be sexual. So I'm going to use something else, like a piece of machinery.
Okay. Well, so still to come up on the show, Spax has just arrived, and rather Joel. Would you rather be Joel or Spax?
Well, for whatever. You've blown my cover now, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, well, I've given his secret identity away, so he can't fight crime anymore. They're going to be out banging for his blood. But still to come is Spax is up next, and then DJ Watermess, and finishing with Jay Frank. We're currently still trying to cue the CD up.
How do you fast forward?
Stephen's furiously twiddling the tracking wheel.
Look, how do you fast forward, Tom?
Like this.
Yeah, but that's like a second at a time. It's 15 minutes long, man.
Jesus Christ, yeah, this is a nightmare, isn't it?
I keep viewers amused. Do you have a look at that while working? Okay, so other interesting things out of my day, which I'm sure you're dying to hear, literally, quite literally dying, as much as people in the fields of Kosovo. That's how literally you're dying to hear an amusing anecdote. that's going to take a long time. No, there's surely a better way to cue that.
Yeah, no, it's, I don't think I've ever had to do this on this,
Well, no, that's not going to work. Just try another way. Just experiment the buttons. Don't worry, I can...
Well, this takes the pitch up and down.
Okay, anyway, the Pleasure Unit, where we were at, me and Richard went there. We didn't bring along anyone, unfortunately. So we showed up, and we were expecting a bit of a crowd, you know, maybe 15, 20 people. There were four people there. So that meant when we came to the live recording, you know, we didn't have much of, like, the clapping and sort of crowd ambience that you would expect, which was disappointing, I suppose, in some ways. But you can hear how we introduced the act right here. We're going to play right from the beginning, and you can hear the act as just the first 3 minutes, and you can get an idea of that wonderful atmosphere in Bethnal Green. Thank you.
Bear with us.
Stephen Fingleton. So thank you very much, Stephen, and thank you for the anecdotes and the anecdotes, especially one about cab driver. Okay, so